Chapter 46. Ephraim. Whirlpool. The Ascomani are real, and so is their king. It's all I can think about as a whirlpool of carrion eaters churns over the body of Freyhild. On the shoulder of the very mountain where she was born, the host of obsidians watches in silence. Only the light of braziers holds back the winter night. When the last bit of flesh has been stripped away, the great host melts into the gloom back to their ships. They are solemn. Freyhild was much loved, and this was a bad death. One by one, the Skugi drop strands of hair onto her bones and whisper something to her they never said to her in life. They invite me to do the same. When it's my turn, I look at the grisly remains and see Volga. I can't shake the feeling this is my fault, instead of that of barbarians from deep space. How ridiculous that sounds. Only hours ago, Freyhild was so full of life, so in love with her tribe, her queen, Valdir. How can I keep Volga from this fate, when horror seems to follow me everywhere I go? I wish I could have seen you grow old, I say, and sprinkle several hairs over her bones. You would have been a sight. My chest tightens as I leave her to her last mourner. Seffi watches from the distance as Valdir collects her bones to sew them together with the hair given by her mourners. Afterwards, he will hide her bones away in the high mountain tombs of her kin. The bones clack like wet wood behind me. Then an inhuman shriek comes from the man. I glance back to see his great shoulders convulsing as he saws off his hair, the great valor tail that no gold could shear, and with it ties together the bones of his lover. Seffi flies away. A feast is thrown in Freyhild's honour in Seffi's newly appointed Griffin Hall. Isadur, ugly little affair held under the stupid faces of griffins carved by Olympian artisans. More than anything, the obsidians are confused by my tale. They knew the outcast tribes of Mars and Earth were pirates. Like the Republic, they call them Ascomani after the old legends. But now, they must take my word and Osgar's that the myth is true. That there's another breed out there. That Volsungfar is as real as a heart attack. It's a tough pill to swallow, especially to Valdir and his male warriors. They liked Freyhild. They don't like me. And they like Osgard even less. How convenient it is for us to blame her death on myths from deep space. I sit amongst the Skugi at a low table in silence, nursing a cup of hard liquor. Goodkind is missing. Seffi selected him and several other pathfinders to assess the scene and check the story Osgard and I gave her. At the high table with Seffi, the children, and the highest-ranking female jarls, the tribal leaders, Valdir drowns his agony in endless horns of Azag. His rage ferments like the berry liquor that stains his lips purple. Not even the old rough bastards with the long valor tails dare speak to him. He stares across Seffi to Osgard, the only other man at the high table. The shaman, his eye patched, his hand in a cast, withers under that hard gaze. Neither man listens to the braves who stand one by one to toast Freyhild's memory with trite little expressions of respect. Deft in all things but not dying, it seems. Some deaths make all feel terribly mortal. Xenophon, who stands by the cupbearers of the high table, seems unimpressed by the funeral toasts as I am. The white spares me a grim nod. Of Seffi's council, the Logos wasn't the only one sceptical about the tale of Ascomani, but he was the most vocal. From the far end of the table, Pax watches Valdir with narrowed eyes. Seffi stands and lifts her horn. Freyhild was born in bondage, but made herself free. Her worth, if weighed, would make a mountain light as air. She drinks now beside Ragnar and feasts in the halls of Valhalla. I swear on my brother's blood, the creature known as Volsung Thar will hang upon Griffinhold by his entrails. His skin will be fed to mice, his heart to fish, his balls to dogs. He and his Asgomani are no men. I declare Ashvar upon them. Forevermore they stand enemy of all tribe. Skål! The room grumbles. She sits, and as Xenophon brings her a message, she fails to see the choleric rage corrupting Valdir's face. Lies! The champion mouths. He stands, draws his axe, and slams it through the table, breaking it nearly in half. Cups of spirits and plates of meat tumble to the floor. Sefi's jaw flexes as to the horror of the host. He repeats his accusation. Lies! She whispers something to Valdir and reaches for his shoulder. He rips away from her. Asgomani! He spits on the broken table. Asgomani are scavengers, flea-bitten raiders too weak for our warbands. They have no king. There is no Volsung Thar. He thrusts a finger at Osgard. You spun him from rumour, like you spin all your shit. He flings a hand at Xenophon. The white does not believe your lie. When has the white been wrong? Sefi remains seated and turns to look out at the host instead of her fuming mate. Maybe she thinks if she ignores him, she can let this insult slide, and that Valdir will not go too far in his accusations. Big fool just might. I saw the tracks myself. I saw no hunt signs, no traces of evil obsidian from the dark. Freyhild would never be taken unaware, even by myths. She is not blind. He looks at Sefi, then back to the shaman. She was shot from the front by a bow at no more than 20 paces. How would Freyhild, Skugi, Mindtaker, Drake Slayer be so stupid? How could she die when 2 weaklings did not? Did I take my own eye? Osgard says in protest. Odin did. What is an eye to a fool? Your only weapon is your tongue. I saw Volsung Thar, a creature from the blackness, from the edge of the ink itself. He spoke in the lost tongue. He challenged our queen. Grania saw what I saw. Great. Thanks, old boy. Valdir nearly tips over as he turns to glare at me. The Grey is a whore who will do anything for money. Did you pay him to lie, Osgard? To pretend it was Asgomani? Or did you, my queen? The room goes dead quiet. If duels were allowed, any brave could call him out for challenging their honour like that. But to challenge the queen's? Shit. I don't know. She could probably just kill him here. An insult to her honour is an insult to the tribe, punishable by death. Still, she doesn't move. Valdir is the heart of the male braves. Their pride, their big brother. Gods, I feel for her. Sefi the Quiet, Valdir crows, stumbling as he waves his arms about. No need to use that cold tongue. Your eyes sang your jealousy. I saw. We all saw. Did you decide to kill her because she took the mines? Or because she killed the drake? Or because she held my heart in her hands? Or because she is young and you are old? Your cock is yours, Seffi says out to the host. Fuck a goat for all I care, but your valour is your tribe's. Do not sully it by wagging your tongue like stupid Heatlander. You feel nothing, he hisses into her face. It is not you who's quiet. It is your auntie. He grabs the flagon from his cupbearer and shoves his way out of the room. Pax lifts his eyebrows to me, and Electra takes the azag from the neighbouring jarl and downs the whole horn. Seffi sighs and eats a grape from a spilled dish. She waves to the open doors where light snow drifts down. It is foul weather outside. Much thunder. She admires the high walls and vaulted ceiling. Stone echoes loudly, but it remains stone, strong, with no memory. She smiles at her host, her message clear and clever. Minstrels, drown out the thunder, please. Many laugh as the minstrels pour into the hall, but not all. Not Valdir's cadre of male braves, not the Skoogie, not me. As the minstrels sing, I feel the need for fresh air. I stand in the archway between the Bellona doors to watch snow fall on Olympia. Even in the night, the construction doesn't pause. Skyscrapers rise anew. Seems your myths have a nasty bite, I say. Familiar soft footsteps approach from the hall. Pax extends a hand out into the snow. I told you they weren't myths. I just said they were far away. Looks like you don't know everything. I squint over at him. You believe me, right? I believe you think you saw Ascomani, but from your description they seem to be built the same as our obsidians. After several hundred years, that would be unlikely. I only saw far, clearly. The others were... It was dark and fast. I chew the inside of my cheek. You think it might have been imposters? I don't know. It doesn't make sense. If it is the real Vorsungfar, how did he get here so fast? How did he make it to the surface? Why did he target Freyhild? The Ascomani raiders in the belt are resourceful, but none could evade the Republic sensor grid, or the instruments of their Pandora. Maybe he was already here, I say. Maybe he knew Seffi was coming here. How would he know that? Pax asks. I glance back into the hall where Osgard watches the minstrels from Seffi's side. That is a question, isn't it? The two servants in Seffi's favour, Osgard and I, walk away with their lives. The one screwing her concubine hangs on a hook. Do you believe Valdir, then? He asks. That Osgard is complicit? I don't have a bloody clue. All I know is that Far is the scariest man I've ever met, and I met quite a few. In the hall, Seffi departs. Xenophon heads our way. One question puzzles me the most, Pax says. Why would the Ascomani have any interest in the All Tribe? For 500 years, the only enemy they knew was themselves and the Moon Lords. He hesitates. And the Fear Knight. He's prevented from saying more and takes on a thoughtful expression as Xenophon arrives. The Queen would like a private word with both of you. Xenophon motions us to follow. I linger behind with Pax. You and Hatshepsut, wearing your harnesses? I ask. Always. Good lad. In her private chamber, Seffi hunches over the fire as I tell her for the third time what I already told her underlings of our night in the ruins. Her gloved finger strokes Ajar's razor. Electra slouches by the fire, poking it with her finger. Pax remains quiet, not yet addressed. You know humans well, Seffi says carefully to me. Did it seem to you that Osgard knew this far? I look between her and Xenophon, Who is asking?
I am,
Seffi says. I don't think so. He looks scared shitless, but I'm not a bloodhound. She purses her lips and looks at Pax.
Do you believe Volksung Fa is real?
Yes.
The context of the RR debriefs my mother passed to me suggests he's a myth to the pirates, but a real figure in the Kuiper Belt. However, we have intercepted tight beams with phrases such as the Far orders or send them to the Far, followed by instructions, not just as an epigram.
She mulls this over.
You remember these messages? Verbatim. However, it could simply be they've adopted the word Far as a title. You will transcribe the message for Xenophon.
The White stands apart from us, keeping record. Pax says he will.
This Far, did your mother believe he is from the Far Inc?
According to classified society records, yes. There is a civilization there, as you know, one that has harried the Moon Lords for years. But the transit would take over a year's sail on a destroyer, and the Moon Lord sensors are at least as sophisticated as ours. They hunt down Azkomani as they do everything, thoroughly.
Seffi frowns in thought.
If he could make the transit, what size of force could he wield?
Again, that would be guesswork, Pax says. 50,000 if the raiders in the inner belt are his allies? If his real strength is in the Kuiper Belt, it would be ridiculous to even posit a guess. But even if it is a large force, the convoy required to ferry them here would have been spotted by the Moon Lords.
Maybe they sent them, Seffi hazards.
Romulus would rather die than ally with Obsidians, Pax says.
He allied with your father?
Romulus would never ally with Obsidians.
Men change,
she shrugs, probably thinking of Valdir. If Seffi arranged this to kill Freyhild, she's putting on an elaborate show.
I believe it time to consult with your mother, Electra, Seffi says.
Electra keeps prodding the fire.
Republic must think we are strong. We cannot ask them. Will she aid us if we need assistance?
It'll cost you one of us, Electra says. She'll ask for me. You'll say no. She'll block your calls until you're attacked. She'll call and ask for me again. You fear you won't have leverage if you give me. So you'll give Pax. With his parents likely dead, he means less in the macro. But it's Pax she wants, because she'll put Darrow and Virginia over herself and Dar, and because it is moral.
Well, that was brutally succinct, I mutter. She just glowers at the fire, stooped and unhappy. The door bursts open. Braga, Pax's chief bodyguard, and one of Seffi's wing sisters, stands with tears in her eyes. The stone stairs up to the Griffin's eyrie are covered with feathers and dander. They're sobbing from above. Blind obsidian stable masters weep into their hands. When we arrive at the roost, we are greeted with a scene of carnage. Seffi staggers past pools of blood and half a dozen butchered stable hands toward the pale mass of her griffin. God-eater lies on the floor, her neck hacked to the bone. Her huge eyes stare wide and terrified at the ceiling as she twitches in agony. The rest of the griffins are gone. I can barely make out their silhouettes against the moonlight over Olympia as they fly toward Loch Esmeralda. The stable masters dare not approach God-eater. Her long claws rake against the stone in pain. Only when Seffi approaches with her throat bared does the beast still. Seffi strokes her muzzle and puts her head to the great sternum. With a frown from what she hears, she closes her eyes to look at the griffin's spirit. Pax watches thoughtfully as she drives her razor into God-eater's heart. Seffi breathes in the griffin's death rattle and wraps her arms around its neck before standing. Several dozen Valkyrie stand sweating beyond the dead animal. The mangled corpses of three of their sisters lie broken and hacked as if by a mindless monster. Medical teams attend three survivors. The rest part for Sephi. Valdir kneels on the stable floor amidst the straw. He's drenched head to toe in blood and covered with long gashes from the griffin's talons. Burn marks from stun weapons congeal patches of the blood. The axe he murdered God-Eater and the Valkyrie with lies on the floor, covered with feathers and viscera. He pants like a dog on a hot day. Muscles twitch from residual electric shock.
"Did you love her so?" Sephi whispers.
"As much as I loved you before you became stone."
His voice morphs into a mad growl, making Sephi tilt her head.
"You feared she would become queen instead of your Volga. My pathfinders found skip trace back to the echo of Ragnar."
At first, I thought I misheard him, until Pax and Electra glance at me, just as confused. Valdir's head twitches as he twists it around. His teeth are purple and pulled back in a primal grimace.
"Do you feel anything now, Sephi?"
Sephi takes the Stunfist from Baeldi, one of her bodyguards, and shoots him again and again and again until he steams on the floor, flat and laughing. Only when I call her name does Sephi pause, just short of killing him. She drops the Stunfist and orders without a trace of emotion, "Find this creature and throw it in the deep cells." In one of the stables, Pax crouches by a discarded flagon of Azarg. "Give that here," I say, taking over as Valdir is dragged from the room. I signal Xenophon, and several minutes later, one of his aides returns with a sample kit. We feed several drops of Azarg in. When the readout comes, Xenophon's hand twitches. "What is it?" Sephi demands. Xenophon lets the kit go, and I bring it to Sephi. She takes it in her bloody hands, and her face grows dark with rage.
"Bring me the shaman."
"There is no proof that it was his doing," Xenophon intones. "I caution you against—"
"Obey, servant."
20 long minutes later, I watch Osgard fall to his knees, begging for Sephi to believe he did not put the fever cloud mushroom into Valdir's Azarg. The queen watches him from inside her sanctum as snow falls outside. She hasn't spoken since the Valkyrie dragged him in. Half of Griffinhold writhes in rumour, half in grief.
"All I have done for you, my queen,"
Osgard begs, and I believe he thinks as much. Valdir was always a threat to him, a sceptic of his prophecies, a man who held sway over Sephi's heart in a way he never could. I know the type. In his story to me on the ice, he seemed tragic and noble in his lies. But now the underbelly of that self-myth reveals the reptile. He finally saw his chance to end a competitor, a man he could never challenge, who mocked him daily, and he took it. Still, he bleats on. When even he runs out of words, Sephi finally looks at him.
"You brought us to Mars, Osgard. You helped me believe in the All-Tribe and make my brother's dream. For that, I am in your debt. Your prophecy is the Andi of the tribe now. I will not sully it. But this is the last time I speak to you. For good of tribe, you will live amongst us, but you are a shadow to be seen, never heeded, never heard, never noticed. Be gone."
The shaman knows better than to call her bluff. Broken, he looks at me. "Yeah, right, old boy, you're on your own." He stands and shuffles towards the door.
"Osgard?"
He stops and turns to his queen in hope.
"I will find the truth. If this far
is known to you, there will be no mercy.
The Valkyries shove him out. Of the four in Sephi's council when first she hired me, only the human calculator remains. This fact almost makes me hold my tongue. Almost. Why would Volga be queen? I ask. Sephi nods, expecting the question. She gestures to the hearth and calls for the servant to bring wine. I don't join her in sitting. She watches Amel's replacement open the bottle and pour the wine. Xenophon samples it, nods, and returns to his perch behind her shoulder. She drinks heavily and gestures for me to join her. I don't think I'll be drinking anything around here anytime soon. Why would Volga be queen? What was Valdir growling about? She twirls the wine with her gloved hand. Xenophon pipes up. Your Majesty knows I was hesitant with regard to the hiring of Mr. Horn. I believe he has contradicted my assessment. More than ever, he is of value to the All Tribe. Show him or you will lose him. A shadow of herself, Sephi listens to her white. She takes off her coat, then her vest underneath, and rolls up her right sleeve and removes her glove and a thin layer of a medical wrap. The limb smells of rotting meat. I recoil. What is that?
Yellow death, she replies.
Her skin is sulfur yellow and hideous. Mottled scales climb from her elbow down to her hand. Raw fissures crack the skin and whine through the patches to weep murky pus. Where she would have held her griffin's reins, a strip of raw skin shows where the scales sheathed off. Fresh scales are already pushing their way to the surface. She winces as she moves the hand.
A gift from Atalantia, she says. It is a designer poison. It corrupts the DNA itself, I am told. It cannot be contained by removing the arm. If the arm is removed, it moves to find another region of the body.
She rolls her hand around to inspect it.
It has not conquered me yet, despite what Valdir thinks. It disgusts him as it should. That is why I let him lie with Freyhild. It is why I grow cold to him. What it touches, it infects.
And it's why you couldn't draw the bow.
At times I grow weak until the pain passes. For all the medici and scientists, it is only Xenophon who slows it. But I was foolish. I did not take his medicine on the hunt. Old creed.
She grimaces.
It cannot be stopped by any means we possess, or all our helium can buy.
When?
Several years still, Xenophon says. Her Majesty is strength.
Sephi grimaces at that and tries to wrap the medical bandage back around, but fumbles. Tenderly, Xenophon kneels and helps her, taking care not to touch her skin. Gently, the white fits her glove back on and rolls down her sleeve. She smiles absently at the loyal servant in gratitude.
In my time, I did what no one has done. I have united the tribes of all ice,
she snorts.
Most ice, at least. But they have not forgotten their old feuds or the old creed. When I die, Valdir would lead them to more of Tir Morgul's wars. Only one thing can bind them, maybe in peace. The blood of Ragnar. I am not the last to carry it. Volga is Ragnar's daughter.
I feel hit by train. Nah. She was born on Luna. She was an experiment, a tube baby.
In a breeding stable run by the family Grimus, the owners of my brother, my father, his father before him. My father, Wagner the Pale Horse, was their prized stud. he begat scores of spawn. When he coupled with my mother to make their brood, he had long been in the stars. It was his privilege to return to the ice on the condition he make more slaves. In time, he'd made enough. He took my brother and me hunting one last time before the gods called him back. I never saw him again. When they took Ragnar, she shakes her head, they found a more practical method, a way to make as many spawn as they desired and keep him at their wars. How many? 200 from his seed? We thought all died when the jackals' atomics destroyed the facility. But when the Julii captured Volga, she ran her DNA. Who else knows? Valdir, Osgard, and Xenophon. This is second reason why I push toward modern age. So when I die, Volga will not be seen as abomination goals made, but queen. I heeded Xenophon's warnings. Truly, I feared Osgard's ambition to seize the mines. 'Tis too much to risk to make a kingdom for a prophecy, when I knew it would shatter at my death. My DNA is corrupt. It would transfer to any kin. But with a living heir, with Ragnar's blood. You were going to use her? So much for her benevolence, for giving her back to me. I wasn't earning Volga's freedom. Seffi was going to keep her all along. We're all pieces on a board to her. I am going to give her a kingdom. My brother's blood will fulfill our dream for our people. And you wanted me to be a spokesman, to vouch for you, I say, backing away from her. That's why you bought me with a ship. Took me on the hunt, had Osgard pour honey in my ear, not for me, but because you needed me to recruit her, to drag her into this. I surprise her with applause. What a clever lady you are. Volga belongs here, with her people, even if she is an abomination, I smirk. You've thought it all out, but you got one problem. I tap my temple. I know how the rest of this plays, and it's all downhill. Dreamers die bad. Mr. Horn? Ephraim? My people deserve a future without war. It cannot be done in my time, but in Volga's it may be. I need her. My people need her. Her world is Freyhild on a hook. Osgard scheming and poisoning his way into halls of power. Valdir butchering women and dreaming of the war I ran from. Seffi was crueler from the start than Volga ever could be, and even she drowns in yellow death and deceit. Now we're adding barbarian enemies from the ink. Fuck that. This place would eat Volga like it's eating you. That girl might have your blood. But I'm her people. She deserves more than dying for yours. If you want her as your heir, it'll be over my dead fucking body.